like everything else in the universe that we don't understand. They come in cycles. Might be interesting to look back on what happened on the 17th of July in previous years. I don't know whether there's any significance or cycles that are predictable. I am not interested in that kind of thought. I am interested in the power of healing and precognition that I have. I've seen everything else to be fraudulent. But in 1877, the first nationwide railway strike took place in USA. In 1936, on this same date of the 17th of July, the Spanish Civil War began. U.S. sent people of all races,
go ahead, W. Franklin.
Social Democrats, socialists, communists, to help.
Yes, any information on the gas?
To try to support the Spanish Republicans.
Is there any feedback on the gas?
Social Democrats, leftward leaning in their war against Franco, who was a protege of Hitler, a real fascist, phalangist Christian. But even though Franco had no people support, the superior military force of Hitler's Germany, and the lack of support given, of course, by USA or any other capitalist nation, the brave people of Spain lost that civil war. Franco has since, you know, been deposed in death, really. That's when the government changed and become a sort of benign capitalism. They're having lots of trouble. The Basque region is seeking independence, quite a revolutionary element. 1964, on the 17th of July, a leading civil rights activist, black nationalist who James Powell was killed in a merciless attack by police in Harlem. However, it was the major uprising of Harlem, the first and most significant major uprising in Harlem of black people. Now we shall go on today. In Cyprus, moving further to the left, the president has taken his vice president out of the current talks and negotiations with Turkey, which are attempting to bring a peaceful resolution to Cyprus, which has a small sector that is Turkish in population. Cyprus is a predominantly Greek Orthodox Christian community that has gone pro-Marxist and been invited into COMECON, the Federation of Communist Nations, the Warsaw Pact Nations under the Soviet Union. The Turkish sector has demanded a bicameral legislature, one representing the Greeks and one the Turks, and this has been resisted. Turkey is in upheaval. News just coming in. It's in major upheaval. They're finding, I guess, left infiltration in their secret police. The top security member of their secret police has been deposed. I suppose charges are being pending. Also, the person in charge of the secret police, the security in Istanbul, has also been chopped. There's a lot of violence in Turkey. News is not too clear as to who's winning. Turkey has been a reactionary regime, though it has threatened of late to seek Soviet aid and draw closer to the Soviet Union because of the U.S. ban on military aid that has been imposed because the Turks were using it against minorities. Turkish reactionaries a few decades ago murdered 2 million Armenians, and the Turks had been using their arms against Greece. It's also an ally of USA. So USA made a choice that arms embargo is being now currently discussed in Congress as to whether it'll be lifted, and I think it has been. You get very little news out of USA when something's done that is not in the best tradition of democracy. But nonetheless, Turkey's having its own internal strife at this time. Vicious violence as the left is struggling for power in Turkey. Egypt, Sadat has not agreed to the Israeli demands to maintain military forces on Gaza and East Bank. The foreign minister of Egypt and Israel, Zionist Israel, and USA are meeting in London today. Secretary Vance, tired and fatigued, has just arrived because he's been spread thin trying to discuss disarmament talks in the Soviet Union, which have been unable to get off the ground because of U.S. resolution, the Congress's resolution, that they will not sign any kind of detente peace arrangement until something's done about the Soviet treatment of their dissidents. Seems very strange to link the internal policies of any nation with such an important issue as world peace, but that's the way things are these days. And we give all sides and all facets of the news. A number of communist nations, the Euro-communists, which unfortunately and tragically in this nuclear age may be forming a new bloc, are being very censorious of the treatment, the heavy penalties being handed down by the Soviets on their dissidents, or what the Soviets call their traitors. The Soviets say this is our law, and we will not allow internal meddling. I think USA, if they wanted to change things, really basically change things for the well-being of the Soviets, are doing such a job of putting the public spotlight on the Soviets, it'd be difficult for them to back off if they chose from some of their sentences. However, some accused of capital crime have only been given 8 years. One sentence does seem to be heavy. I don't know the nature of it. You can't get a thing out of U.S. media. The Soviet Union, for some reason, does not yet react. If anyone's picking up Soviet broadcasts that do, I cannot pick up any socialist bloc nations that are reacting. Of course, the Warsaw Pact nations, you know those, Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, and so forth, are giving staunch support to the Soviet Union in their right of internal rule. Excuse the froggy sound. Had something in the throat. The Soviet Union did sentence someone previously to 15 years in the Ukraine, who was on the Helsinki Human Rights Commission. The Helsinki Accord from Finland arrived at certain basic human rights considerations, and the Soviets are coming under attack. But it seems like the Soviets are so embittered by this public ridicule that U.S. and her lackeys have put upon her that she's maybe overreacting. The French communist paper said that great sympathy for the Soviet Union, what it's done for its people, its domestic achievements, its international policy of helping liberation causes in Africa, but it said these laws need to be changed about disagreement with the government. And so I will post what I hear. Now, this is the voice of Sweden. It may be distorted. BBC backs it up. I can get no communist broadcast discussing it, but they gave a direct quote from the Humanity, the organ of the Communist Party, which has indeed become independent, and we have studied the Italian Communist, particularly the Italian Communist Party, which are obviously revisionist, in that they will even discuss joint efforts with AFL-CIO leader, George Meany, who worked and been brought to his public record that he was involved with the CIA, seems hard to defend. There's no way you can defend it. But I try to give you all the news. But the major Western communist parties, that is, they are minorities, of course, in France and Belgium and Netherlands and in Great Britain, England, and in Spain, with the exception of Portugal's Communist Party, have come out against the severity of the trials. Listening to the editorial of the French revisionist, the Euro-Communist Party, which is more and more the European Communist Parties are breaking away, except the staunch allies in the Warsaw Pact, with, of course, dozen exceptions like Cyprus and Yemen. It's a real dangerous era. It's a really dangerous era. But USA, of course, is using it. All their political prisoners, they're utterly hypocritical. There are tens of thousands, as Andrew Young admitted himself, thousands of political prisoners in USA. The Soviet Union only have four on trial at the present time. One under sentence of death. I mean, faith is at least, unless it's appealed successfully. But some of the communist parties are criticizing trial by television and in front of the television cameras. Soviets say this is to show to all the world their objectivity so the people can see the trials. These people do confess. The French communist went on to disagree with Soviet policy of putting those who disagree with government into mental institutions. I am sure, however, it is preferable than being put in to the horrible prison conditions of USA, where a prison cell is overcrowded 15 to 1. But I'm giving you the Euro-communist revisionist view. It takes difficulty to think and keep your course. We're not here because we are pro-Soviet. We are pro-socialist. We do not believe a socialist solution will work in one nation. That has worked successfully in one nation can be imposed upon another nation. We do recognize that power corrupts. The dangerous era of the transition from capitalism can lead to excesses. As under Stalin, for instance, he got so very paranoid about the Western imperialists who had infiltrated clear up in his high command, trying to overthrow the communist regime, and he was a very dedicated man in the sense that he lived humbly, modestly, dressed shabbily, and owned nothing new, and left not one cent when he passed. He was such a man of communist practice, but he was a firm practitioner indeed. After that unveiling of the German infiltration, the Nazi, and indirectly U.S. capitalist infiltration into his high command, he had purges, there's no question about it. The French seem to be the only really objective analysis. I wouldn't even bother to give you the other European communist analysis. They are a minority. They're underpay, no doubt. In some instances, they've sold out to capitalist interest. And perhaps they fear, as many communists who became apologists for USA in the McCarthy era and even sold out. We have it all the time, who broke away from communism to play it safe. And then there are those who simply have become a part of the petty bourgeoisie, if not the middle-class bourgeoisie. They've received such high salaries from their trade union activities that they are more part of this capitalist system than they are their socialist theory and rhetoric. We've seen that here, we've seen that everywhere. We've seen that in high officials that our people have dated. They have Marxist theory down clad, but they have unfortunately allowed themselves to be tricked to become a part of the system. And they're really schizophrenic. I don't want to name names. Then you have the bold kind of socialism. I'm not going to comment on the lifestyle of the Prime Minister, as I do not know. I know the lifestyle of Dr. Reed is humble, lives in modest circumstances, the chairman of the PNC. But anyway, you have to say that power has not been abused in Guyana. At this stage, a lot of opposition is tolerated, and the power that is undoubtedly, we must all see, in the hands of the PNC, is being used to champion socialist measures at this point about the new constitution and champion liberation in Korea, and in the strongest terms to speak out against U.S. and British oppression. And obviously, I have not abused power. That period, however, of the DFP is a dangerous period. One may have to awaken someplace in some point in time that for a long era you'll have the choice of two kinds of dictatorships. One communistic or one fascistic, because capitalism will go fascistic. There are too many economic contradictions inside of capitalism today to contain it. It's falling apart at the seams, and we're seeing oppressive measures, oppressive laws legalizing experimentation on children, racist laws, the Bakke decision upheld by the Supreme Court, journalists being deprived of their right to maintain their sources, which will stop them from printing any corruption in the government. This is upheld by the Supreme Court. And a new measure that is even more severe, a restriction, in spite of the fact that the press in USA has been, as Solzhenitsyn, a former defector from the Soviet Union, said, corrupt, too powerful. Nonetheless, other elements of power in the capitalist ruling class are restricting that power considerably. For the first time, we've seen today's news, New York Times Foreign Edition. I do not know whether the comment was it was in its foreign edition. I doubt very much if it was in its domestic edition. U.S. Time Magazine, Newsweek had foreign editions, which they would appear to be all very progressive and extremely liberal, whereas in USA they will not print the same stuff. But in the foreign edition of the New York Times, there's a heavy, heavy indictment on Rose Peterson, who was the consul in the Moscow region from the USA, and we hadn't heard a thing about her. U.S. sort of dropped her out of the news. You remember, she was the lady that got on several buses and tried to divert attention. She was supposedly a consul and not supposed to be involved in spy work. That's what the U.S. mandate of the Constitution, the government requires that CIA functions are not to interfere or not to be involved in diplomatic posts, but we've seen it over and over again. Who knows that any time you talk with a consul official, you may be talking with a member of the CIA. Well, she was. The All-American Girl, the New York Times Foreign Edition said, she looked like she had liberal humanitarian concerns, but they caught her in the act. And the New York Times says, doesn't make a difference how much the United States denies it. The New York Times Foreign Edition, which again, it's hypocritical to print the truth in the foreign edition and not print the truth in the domestic editions. But they said she was caught in the act. She had a rock with poison in it and was placing it under a bridge. She had a secret code in which she called out, "I'm a foreigner, I'm a foreigner," which stopped whatever treasonous element, you'd have to say treasonous element when you're talking about poison. That's why U.S. news about human rights in the Soviet Union is so slanted. She was actually passing poison and explosives to some anti-Soviet element, but they didn't come to pick up the rock. She was caught in the act, and even her own consular, her deputy consular, did not know, and he was called in about it. The Soviets were shocked and chagrined, and she then showed her true colors under investigation, said the New York Foreign Times edition. She said that directly to her consular assistant as some sort of secret police official. She said, "Shut up. I order you to shut up." And he did, because evidently he may have been saying too much. However, USSR, the Soviet Union, respected diplomatic immunity. All people in consuls have diplomatic immunity. And obviously then the Soviet Union must have spying in their consuls, because they did respect diplomatic immunity, which granted her the right to go home. She went home, and she's living not too easy a life. She's still being supported. The New York Foreign Times edition, New York Times Foreign Edition, could not determine the source. She is alienated. She has very little company except for sexual purposes, and there wasn't a great elaboration on that. She refuses any comment with news, and she lives an excluded life somewhere in the racist South. And they did indict her for her being built up by the press, elements of the press. The New York Times criticized them for building her up as the all-American liberal and the all-American beauty queen. Quite a campaign, press, cooperation, and government. She was built as, you know, the kind of nice little girl that would never pass poison, and just a consular, heralded as a victory for the feminists, that the woman had reached an important post. But little did the world know how important a post she did. She was a high-ranking CIA official, and this just happened, as you know, a few days ago. I gave you the news about it. Anyway, she now dropped from the Foreign Service, and USA is trying to act like they have no connections with her. That's the rewards for spying. Nobody really appreciates loyalty. At least she did have loyalty. She cried out to whoever was to pick up the rock, gave them the warning so they wouldn't be arrested. She was loyal. But apparently she's being dropped, other than be maintained financially, but it's a life of withdrawal and unhappiness and exclusion, and quite an attack on her by the New York Times Foreign Edition. Maybe the newspaper's now going to serve the appearance of free press because of the laws that are coming down, repressing individual and collective liberties, and even freedom of the press, human rights in USA. And you would certainly get more response from the USSR that has come out of the dictatorship of the proletariat period, a strong personality period of Stalin, in which he had laws, for instance, forbidding all Soviet citizens to marry foreigners, and communist agitation, even from U.S. communists, got Stalin, Stalin's successors, to change those laws. But he became so utterly apprehensive after imperialism had succeeded in infiltrating his own military high command with money. And you wonder how that can happen. Well, people are primitive. We're very animalistic. And that was the first communist revolution. And so people have vestiges, holdovers of capitalism, just like here. People got a price they'll pay. People, Debbie, the day she went out, swore in emotion and tears that she would never commit treason. She'd never get with the defectors. And maybe that was her intention. But when they put something on her head, got too heavy, the threats, she complied. Grossly unhappy, involved in drug world. Even one of our Traders is in worse condition than that, but I will not elaborate for security reasons on that situation. Nonetheless, this woman, through a conspiracy of press and government, was built up, Rose Peterson, to be a liberal, and was promoted as the all-American girl. And then when she returned, of course, and her hand was caught in the cookie jar of trying to pass poison to Soviet agitators, you can hardly call anybody a dissident who is trying to poison someone. So you really can't get the news on the human rights situation. And I don't know that the French have not sold out, but they did praise the Soviet Union for its domestic policies, its guaranteed socialized medicine, its housing, its high standard of living, and its international efforts in Africa towards liberation. So I always give you all sides of the news. And we must admit that power can be abused. But if you have the choice between fascist power, a Hitler who sends people to gas chambers, the Soviet Union just recently, for instance, granted clemency to all members of the conspiracy against the Soviet state who were receiving money from foreign sources to overthrow the Soviet government. They granted a national clemency. All of them were freed. The Soviet Union does this on certain days commemorating the revolution. And the USA is making a dreadful mistake to hinge all this on the nuclear disarmament talks. Even members of the capitalist world are criticizing the USA for this, that with so much heat on the Soviet Union, if they had intended to be more humanitarian, and they haven't given stiff sentences to some of these people. Some of these people, like Sharansky, was accused of passing secrets and only got 8 years. That's a mild sentence. The Rosenbergs, who did nothing and were framed, were put in the electric chair in Sing Sing. Well, anyway, I'm trying to give you as an objective appraisal of this situation. And I'm afraid that the Soviet Union could not be more humanitarian if they wished to be, or benevolent, because it would be an admission to the entire world that their laws are inhumane. And I'm certain no system is perfect. It just means you have to choose whether you want a genocide, mass murdering system like fascism under Hitler, a megalomaniac, power hungry, ruthless. We've seen the history we've never seen in communism. No experiment in communism where children have been put in gas chambers, where there's been mass murder. That has not ever happened in a socialist revolution. We see, on the other hand, such progress with 50 years of socialism that has brought free medicine, full employment to all of the Soviet Union, even so in China. Tragically, China is remembers her history and is caught up in the bitterness towards white people. And even though she's doing things like I had to admit today, I will tell you all the news, assisting Zambia with a $10 million aid. And Zambia standing up very bravely to USA. Another imperialist practice in Africa. Nonetheless, you have to admit, China, where there was 1 million dying a day, and now 1 billion people are all well fed and all housed, and we have no starvation, and even the elimination of rodents and flies, if there is too much power, and power is a dangerous thing in the hands of a communist elite, and that could develop. But it's more dangerous in the hands of a capitalist elite, which now will not even mask itself anymore. Open laws that are fascist are being passed. Senate Bill 1437 will make fascism open. We now have de facto fascism. That means fascism in practice. Apathy, despair, racism. People don't mind admitting they think blacks ought to be annihilated. Even people in high governmental levels. Head of the chief of the Supreme Court of North Carolina called for the elimination of blacks and praised the Ku Klux Klan. So that last stage of capitalism is a dangerous era. It is more menacing. But what we all hope as human beings, that there can be progressive leaders like Jim Jones who will not allow power to do anything but be used for the people.
Go ahead.
And he is nothing more than a representative of the people, open to criticism. Try me and see. Wants to give them the best life and knows that he does not have all the answers, but is the most pure, dedicated leader that he's ever seen. And I'm sorry to have to admit that. And we've seen other exceptions, as I say, in socialism where power has not been abused. We have seen too many, I admit, communist leaders driving Rolls Royces and Cadillacs and having jewelry of extensive wealth. I can't approve of that. I'm afraid of that. But even those who have done those things, I have never seen them put people in jail for 500 years like the Wilmington 10, the black leaders, the black activists on the East Coast. And the president even refuses to review it. I don't know whether President Carter is sensitive to it. I'm sure he's also very aware of selective assassinations
that have
put the chill on all liberation efforts in USA or any president that would try to even be a do-gooder. I'm sure that he's haunted by President Kennedy's death and presidential candidate, President Kennedy's brother, Bob Kennedy. I'm sure he knows well that even Wallace, who wasn't in touch with the will of the ruling Trilateral Commission, the monopoly capitalist, who is sort of an independent reactionary, yes, filled with racism, but he had certain errors
in
which he, areas of his life which he was following his own distorted conscience. And what they do, they paralyzed him. This is a dreadful hour in capitalism, and whatever Carter's propensities on one side of him, and maybe everyone's a Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, but Jim Jones, sometimes I really wonder. I know my side, my negative side, has been subdued. It'll never emerge. I'll never be insensitive.
Yeah.
I'd put my life secondary to any of you here, even some who've been cruel and insensitive and don't care, and you'd kill me if you had an opportunity and sell out for a few dollars, but I'd put my life second to yours. I'd always put your welfare above mine, and I don't believe I'm a mutation. I believe that such evolution can happen to everyone. I came out of poverty, bitterness, pain. I could have easily justified capitalism, seeing the merciless cruelty of my community and my dad. But I chose to be sensitive and to live by guilt, which some of you don't recognize as the greatest protection to humanitarian concerns, is to take guilt for things you do and deal with your own mistakes and feel heavily about them. Not be immobilized, but try to compensate for your guilt. In other words, make restitution, like the Guyana government gave the woman the right to do who was a high official in adult education. She paying up the debt of her defrauding. Well, we've all been guilty. We lived and ate in USA, knowing that the money we bought our meat with and food went to cruel purposes in Africa and Vietnam, napalming babies, torturing and exterminating whole villages across the world. Assassination. Yes, USA democracy has been intimidated, and anyone that would be even inclined to social democracy has been intimidated by, and the protest movement also, by the final act, the Kent killings. Now here is the first time in history that we see mass murder by the army in Kent State, Ohio. Now even in Hitler's Germany, they have tortures and monuments in fascist, neo-fascist West Germany, where people have been cremated and gassed. They don't hide it entirely under a bushel. They may not talk about it in the press. But what does USA do at Kent State when there was a mass movement around USA to put a memorial at Kent State? No, they wouldn't. They wiped it out, excavated it, and put a gymnasium on top of the place where many, many students were wiped out before the eyes of the nation on television. And of course, that went into the minds too very well, intimidated those who are afraid for their lives. The greatest enemy of socialism, the greatest enemy of liberalism, humanitarianism that would lead to a pure communism where there would be no force, no armies, no police, a government by peace, because people would see the benefits of it. The greatest enemy of that progress is one thing. People are afraid of losing their lives, are suffering. The world saw, you may have not remembered, but they looked at Kent State and saw that mass execution. And all the protests in hell didn't do anything about it. No one was ever convicted for it. It was a senseless killing. The students did nothing. They weren't even throwing anything. They were just shot down in cold blood before the eyes of the nation on evening television. Everyone saw it. And so Carter, or whoever else is in the government, Andrew Young, they have their moments. They can't live. It must be hell. Andrew Young, black, he's been a pretty conventional man. He's played it safe. He's been a religious leader. He didn't have too much trouble telling the lies that were in the Bible. But it must be something really dirty going on in USA that caused him for a moment at a cocktail party to emerge and say, I am a political prisoner. He said, I am, rather than I was. He said, and but there are thousands of political prisoners in the jails. Now, that, to me, does not speak of the high character of Andrew Young, because he sold out on many instances and then backed off from his own commitments. But there's a side of him every now and then that looks at what he probably sees, the genocide. I remember the foreign minister of this country said that Andrew Young wanted to come here, but he was fearful of what it would do to us and him. And Andrew Young has said other things, like he, at the same time he said the presence of Cuban assistance in Africa is greatly exaggerated. Well, that was a damning statement. And now he's been ordered not to open his mouth. We'll see if he's a person of conscience, or is he like the great majority of U.S. citizens that can be intimidated by remembering that Martin Luther King was shot, that Malcolm was murdered, that Medgar Evers was murdered, on. Kennedys were murdered. They murder white and black. They don't give a damn. The ruling class eliminates. And what's painful is that they had to kill so few to stifle liberty in USA. And that's what's so hypocritical, and that's the reason I'm giving this commentary, and I want all of you to listen to this. This will be required testing. You will have to know what I'm now saying, because it will help you to reason, and that's the point. So you have the choice, at worst, between the power of fascism, and its history is bloody, or too much power, monolithic structure in communism. Orwell said that's what we would face. Dictatorship, one or the other. That was his 1984. Well, fortunately, we see a lot of humanity as we approach the 1980s. So maybe his dire forecast is not totally true. And obviously not totally true, because we do see people employed. We do see people cared for sensitively. We do see how they handle mental problems in the Soviet Union, in the crisis in, I don't have that text just right, it's Cities Without Crisis by Davidow, Davidow, who's been a supporter of ours. I recommend it, and I'm going to require it for reading and review. Some could give particular passages from it and save my voice over the PA system. I want you to read that book, Cities Without Crisis. And that's about the Soviet Union. That humanity cannot be denied, but nothing's perfect. We're not, and neither is the Soviet Union. Well, that's the commentary. Now I shall see what else is of any importance. A tragic happening, the successor potential to Brzezinski, a Brezhnev rather. Goodness knows that was a mistake. Brzezinski is the chief fascist advisor to the Carter administration. The chief potential successor to Soviet leader Brezhnev was Theodore Kolokov, And tragically, he died suddenly at the age of 60 years. No intimation even by the capitalist press, and they would if there was anything clandestine. He just had a massive coronary. He had been noted for his humanitarian concerns and would have made a very progressive leader. So this will mean the Soviets will have to look for someone else in the line of succession. The dissident trials, another one's been added to it, but it's a small number indeed when you compare the fact that 90% of our jails and prisons are filled with untold tens of thousands of blacks and Indians and Asians. Anybody can see that that is political imprisonment. It's disproportionate. Anyone knows that black people suffer in the press. They're characterized in bestial terms. Everyone knows that there's political harassment and imprisonment in USA when you see the only black senator charged with perjury and to get him out of office just because he's black. No one has ever been charged with perjury in their domestic proceedings before. No other black white person's been charged with 37 felonies like Congressman Diggs, who's been a humanitarian, the founder of the Black Caucus, the chairman of the House of Representatives Committee on African Affairs. No one else defaces 175 years in the prison. If USA would only get honest, then perhaps they'd have some respect in their so-called quest for human rights. Anyway, another tragedy. The head of the Christian Institute, a brave doctor, had to flee South Africa as he was targeted for death. He made it. He got into Botswana that has broken away, and he is in safety. The cartoon, by the way, some of the question where it is in Sudan. Look it up on your map, overlooking the beauty of the Nile. That's where this historic 49-nation African conference is taking place, and the historic decision came down today. In spite of all U.S. imperialist pressure, capitalist pressure, and her allies in NATO, they refused to censor Cuba, and in fact said that Cuba would be invited whenever any African nation chose to, or the whole Pan-African force. And that is historic because of the 49 nations in Africa, they're not majority socialist. They've just got that much pride to have their own independence and their right of self-determination. Even Nigeria came out in strongest condemnation, and it has been to the right, the oil-rich nation of Nigeria. It has demanded, I mean demanded, worldwide commemoration for the prison, those held in prison in Union of South Africa. He said all black people should have this consciousness, and they have demanded that the first task of the Pan-African force would be to liberate the people of Union of South Africa. And Nigeria is not a socialist democracy, not even a social democracy, though it's moving leftward after Carter was caught meeting with some rich bankers and oil entrepreneurs, you remember, in the Hilton Hotel there. Anyway, I don't know what else. Cambodia has reached some agreement with Thailand over the border clashes that were threatening the peace there. Cambodia, but this is a capitalist slant, said that Vietnam is trying to swallow them up. Vietnam, of course, is a socialist, the socialist South and North reunified, and it's very pro-Soviet. However, even BBC said Cambodia could not answer Cambodia. Those are two names. Cambodia is the revolutionary name. Cambodia is the old colonial name that the white people put on that nation. But the BBC said their answers on mass persecution were not satisfactory. They could not whitewash. They couldn't wash away all the charges. The major industrial countries of capitalism, of course, are still in bond trying to hurdle this protectionist wave that's growing. Each nation looking after its own ass. Nationalism, it's called. A dangerous element in a nuclear age. Nationalism we've seen in the name of communism. but it's more fierce, more devastating. It takes more risks in the name of capitalism, because they know, the ruling capitalists of the world know, that they would be charged as Hitler's arch-capitalists were, with war crimes, if they were ever defeated. That's why nuclear war is very certain. So if we were not against elements in the USA government and ruling circles, if we were not for any other socialist movement in the world, the problems facing us, we were black, poor, Indian, Asian, poor whites that have been eliminated now, as we saw in the miners' strike. They were eliminated. They were allowed to starve, and nobody came to the rescue. The poor white are just as much the disdain of the elite. So those problems would have been ours. We would have still needed to go to this lovely opportunity in Guyana, where we have fertile soil, land, room, no racist elements breathing down us, no threats of genocide, and obviously our children have prospects of a future. In USA, no one can count on the future. No person of color, because they may be in a concentration camp the next day. And everybody, I don't care whether they're Rockefeller to the poorest, the threat of nuclear war hangs over their head. And anthropologist Mead, remember, said this is the only safe place in the world that would come out relatively untouched. I'm not happy that we couldn't put the whole of every little baby in the world, every family, in this bosom, this Shangri-La. But let's be appreciative of it and produce it, because if we do, we'll have a firm base. We'll be helping Guyana. They'll see our goodwill, as we've seen it in the rescuing of lives this week. We've saved 3 Guyanese neighbors' lives, obviously. I think that is the end of the news. I didn't mean to give so much, but it's important that you keep up, and I will not be giving long news commentaries in the future, but you must all know this one. Much love, and it'll be added to the news that I've already given. There'll be a stronger emphasis upon Guyanese news, because we are Guyana. We are in Guyana. We are members of the Guyanese community, and we are going to help Guyana in its worthy goal of feeding and clothing and housing its people. Thank you, and much love.